Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're beginning a brand new series of studies today on salvation by faith alone, Paul's letter to Christians in Rome. We will discover the precious gospel message and how to live as followers of Jesus in these last days of Earth's history. So I'm glad you joined us as we begin this new series. We are going to learn a lot as we study this letter, aren't we?
Yes.
And you know, this letter started a Reformation when people discovered that we're not saved by what we do or by buying our way to heaven, but by believing in God's grace received through faith. And we're just glad that you can be with us on this journey. In fact, we are praying that people will be saved forever in God's kingdom as a result of this series of studies. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. And we've got just a few emails to share. Here's one from Shireen in Jamaica. Anyone from Jamaica? We have a witness. Oh, we have several. All right. Well, you should just wave to Shireen. She says, I'm a new believer. I am blessed to have Hope TV to help me understand the Bible. Mm-hmm. Hope Sabbath School is so amazing. You are awesome. My TV is stuck on Hope TV. God bless you and the life that you are living to bless those around you. I am also able to share what I learn with our Bible study group. Is that awesome?
Amen.
You see, that's really it, isn't it? We're not just learning for ourselves, but sharing with those around us. Shireen, thanks for writing to us from the beautiful island of Jamaica, and from the Kingdom of Lesotho. Where is the Kingdom of Lesotho?
South Africa.
South Africa, that's right. It's embedded there, isn't it? Into the kingdom, into South Africa. Hi, writes Mpoy. Thank you for the beautiful and interactive discussion of Hope Sabbath School. I watch diligently every Sabbath morning before I go to church. I'm always encouraged and blessed. May God bless you as you bless others. Mpoy. Well, thanks for writing to us from the Kingdom of Lesotho. That just sounds so wonderful. What's the population of the Kingdom of Lesotho? Someone will have to Google that later, right? Yeah. All right. Tom, thanks for writing to us from Kenya. It's always a pleasure, Tom writes, to watch Hope Sabbath School, the balanced and informative study of the Bible. How do you assemble all of the participants? Are they all from one church? What's the answer?
No.
We probably represent about as many churches as we have people here. I am a Sabbath school teacher myself, writes Tom, and I think I'm below the bar when I compare my class to your class. What is the secret, Brittany, of such a lively class, asks Tom?
Spirit.
That's right. We pray the Holy Spirit will set us free, right? Mm-hmm. Not to think about us, but to think about God and about all of His children. How I wish to have a live interaction with each member of your group. Let them know that they have touched many lives around the world. And we say,
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Continue to raise the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ even higher. May God continue to guide you and direct all of you at Hope Sabbath School. Well, Tom writes to us from Kisii in Kenya. And Tom, we have some Kenyan participants in our class. I don't think we have one in today's team, but we're glad that you're part of our team right there in Kenya. Thanks for writing to us. Albert writes from Zambia. You know, we have many Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia. I'm a Zambian citizen, he writes, living in Lusaka. I've learned a lot since I became an Adventist 2 months ago.
Oh, wow.
I now have a chance to learn the Bible with my friends at church, something that eluded me for a long time. I accidentally found Hope Sabbath School 1.5 months ago, and immediately I fell in love with the program. I can safely say that now I'm learning to understand the Bible.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Albert, for writing to us from Zambia. And really, that is our prayer, is that you could find the truth. And Jesus said the truth will set you free. And of course, the greatest truth is Jesus Himself. He is the truth, isn't He? Karen writes to us from Colorado in the United States. One last note. She says, I'm grateful for Daily Hope and for Hope Sabbath School. You see, after we've gone through a series once each week, we repackage that into a daily Bible study. So people may see you another time somewhere in the world teaching the Bible to them. She says, I found Hope Sabbath School on DirecTV. Mm-hmm. You know, DirecTV goes to about 22 million households, more than 50 million potential viewers just in the United States. Mm. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I have been sifted as wheat. Recently, I've been crushed in spirit and was barely able to keep going. I would wake up at nights and worry and fret. And then I found Hope Sabbath School.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. I started recording it, tuning in when I would wake up. Peace would come to my heart, and I would go back to sleep. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
We've got viewers around the world saying amen.
Praise God.
Karen found peace in Jesus. I realize now the Lord has been renewing my mind.
Amen.
And I'm able to keep going.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Thank you so much. And we don't say, you're welcome. We say,
praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Keep up the good work and God bless you. Karen, thanks for writing to us. And you know what's so beautiful is that these few emails represent hundreds of thousands of people who, when they hear this story, they go, that's me too. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Well, you know, the scripture song for this series on Romans is one of my favorites. It's not only one of my favorite Bible promises, but I'm thankful to my wife for putting a tune to it so we can hide it in our hearts. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And then it says, what should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If you'd like to learn that song, we're just starting it today. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can download the song and the sheet music. By the way, while you're there, you can even download the outline that we use for our class. But right now, we're going to teach you the song.
Together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. What shall we say to these things if God is for us? Who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? He who did God spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Give us all things.
Isn't that an amazing promise?
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul in Rome. And I know he believed that in his own life. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten with rods. He was put in prison. And yet he believed that God could work all things for good. Can we pray that could happen even today?
Yes.
In the heart of every Hope Sabbath School member around the world, maybe someone joining us for the first time, that God could work amazing good by the power of His name. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father in heaven, thank You as we begin this journey studying about salvation by faith alone, faith in you and your grace, your goodness and your mercy. As we study the inspired letter that Paul wrote to Christians in Rome and also for all of us, may your Holy Spirit speak to us in life-changing ways. May lives be changed around the world. As a result of this study, we pray and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, the book of Romans was considered one of the major epistles. It's not by accident it gets put at the beginning of the collection. It's not just based on dating. The book of Romans shared the gospel message that was told in story in the gospels, but now is spelled out by the inspired wisdom of the Apostle Paul. So let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to talk in this study about the Apostle Paul and his passion for Rome. And Kyle, if you could start our study by reading verse 1 and verse 7 of Romans 1, and then let's try to find out where he wrote this letter.
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. In verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints.
So he clearly identifies himself. There are some books that we don't know who wrote them. They don't have a name at the beginning. You could name some of those in the New Testament, including some of the Gospels. Some of the Gospels don't tell us explicitly. But here, Paul says, it's me, and I'm writing to you, right? Christians in Rome. Go over to the end of the letter, to Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. Stephanie, maybe you could read that for us. This unusual city, Cenchrea. I'm not sure how they said it back then, but I Googled it, and that's how it told me to say it. Cenchrea. Read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 16.
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also.
Now, some Bible scholars say, well, why mention her? Except possibly there's some clues that he was actually staying at her house. And so he's writing from that location. Now, does anybody know where Cenchrea is located? Yes, Harold.
In Greece.
That's right. It's actually right across that narrow peninsula from Corinth. Corinth, it's on the east side, the east coast of that narrow strip of land, Cenchrea. Probably not known to many people compared to Corinth or Athens, but he mentions this specific location. So he had been to that region, hadn't he? Let's go to Acts 18, and Tricia Lee, maybe you could look at those first 11 verses and verse 18. That's when, in his missionary journey, Paul comes to that territory and the gospel is first preached.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them.
And then verse 18.
So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow.
So see, there's that mention again of that town. He took a vow, got his hair cut, and then he set sail with Aquila and Priscilla. What encouraging message do you hear in that passage from Acts chapter 18? Yes, Harold.
Well, in verse 9 where it says, "Do not be afraid, but speak and not be silent, for I am with you." Yep. Jesus is with him. So that's the best encouragement.
Is that encouraging?
Yeah.
I need that every time we have Hope Sabbath School, right? Because this isn't just a program, right? I'm with you. All right, what else did you hear that was encouraging? Tricia Lee.
That God said he has many people in the city.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, you're not alone.
So what does that say for us today?
Community is important.
Yes.
God has his people all the places.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Maybe someone watching today for the first time, right? Maybe you're watching Hope Sabbath School for the first time, and God's saying, you're one of my people too.
That's right.
I have many people, like Harold said, all around the world.
Amen.
Who I'm calling. Kyle?
You never know what the impact of what you say will be, because they were all opposing him, it says here.
Right.
But then the leader of the synagogue believes.
Isn't that amazing?
So you know.
One of the key leaders, there were 10 rulers in a synagogue, and one of them named Crispus, and his whole family, they accepted the gospel message.
Amen. Amen.
So there's a lot of encouraging things happening. Now go to Acts chapter 20, because he comes back. And Gary, if you could read the first three verses, he comes back to this region. By the way, the church was planted in around 51, 52 AD. That's that 18-month period that you read about. But he's going to come back in 58, about 58 AD, for a certain amount of time. Gary, how does that read in Acts 20, verses 1 to 3?
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia.
So he comes back to the same region of Greece. That's where Corinth was, Athens, Cenchrea, where Phoebe's house was, right? So that's the 3 months. And many believe that was the time that he actually wrote this epistle. Now, why do you think, Stephanie, he took the time to write a letter to the Christians in Rome?
Because he had a passion for them. He had already spent that amount of time for them, with them. And when you work with someone and do Bible studies and bring them to Jesus, you have that passion for them.
Now, he'd never been to Rome yet, had he? He'd not been to Rome yet, not when he's writing this. But, right? He had a passion for the people in Corinth when he came back, but he'd not been to Rome yet. Alex?
There were also a lot of false teachers and spreading a lot of false gospel at that time. So he wanted to forewarn them and prepare them for that.
All right. And so that's certainly true. We'll come to that in a little while.
Well,
Kyle?
The other passage we read said Priscilla and Aquila came from Rome, right?
Okay.
Or from Italy. So he probably heard about things about the Christians there and wanted to encourage them.
Okay. And that's kind of the crossroads of the civilized world right there, isn't it? So he's wanting to connect with them. Let's read, actually, Brittany, if you could read for us in Romans chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. He in his letter says, I really want to come and visit you. Let's see how he expresses that.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. And so, I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer, having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while.
Now, again, he's never met them. but he really wants to be there. You said false teachers may be sharing some ideas. What else is it about him that he says, I've just got to get to Rome, Harold?
Well, I mean, he was also trying to get help because, again, his goal is to go to areas where the gospel has not been preached, like Spain.
Okay.
So that could be like a center where he can get the support he needs and then move on, maybe the encouragement that he needs even.
Okay, so he would see, maybe he's heard reports about their faith, and he's saying, I could go not only be encouraged but helped. Mm-hmm. On my mission journey, Tricia Lee?
There are different places where he calls himself an apostle to the Gentiles, and I think he recognized that there were people here who could, you know, benefit from the gospel. He's quoting from Isaiah, which is, you know, a prophecy about going to the Gentiles, and so I think he understood it was a part of his mission to reach out to these people that otherwise the Jews or others wouldn't have gone to go visit. So he just has this yearning to go to this ripe community and to share.
Yes, Jamie? By the way, apparently, some people have heard about Jesus, and Peter and Paul haven't been there yet, so we'll come to that in just a minute. Somehow, the message got to Rome. Jamie?
Well, tying into that, Rome is the crossroads of the world, and so if you can reach Rome in a highly pagan society, then you can reach the world.
You know, I don't know what we would compare that to today, but, you know, maybe we would say, you know, go viral on the internet or something. You know, we'd have different language, but it's like if you can get there or if you can get on the nightly news, everybody will eventually hear, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He sees the strategic importance. Let someone read for us Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 17, because Paul had a fundamental conviction. Brittany, if you could read that for us, verses 13 to 17, he wasn't just sitting around saying, well, I hope everybody hears the good news about Jesus. There was this conviction that he had that drove him, guided by the Spirit of God.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
What's he saying?
They need a preacher.
Someone's got to tell them, right? I'm willing to go, right? I'm not just going to pray, God, send someone. Jesus said, go. And he's committed to going. Well, he finally ends up there, but not the way he had intended. Let's look at a couple of passages in Acts 28, verse 16. Acts 28, Alex, if you have that, and then we'll go to Acts 25.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him.
Wait, what was that last thing?
Soldier.
Okay, he made it to Rome, but he didn't make it on a visitor's visa, right? With the soldier who kept him. Go to Acts chapter 25. We won't read the first 12 verses, but he's there before Felix. And Acts 25, things don't seem to be going well. There's a plot to kill him, actually. And someone read for us verses 11 and 12. Do I have a volunteer? Jamie, you'd read verses 11 and 12 for us.
The New Living Translation says, if I have done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if I am innocent, no one has a right to turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar. Festus conferred with his advisors and then replied, very well. You have appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar you will go.
Now, why was he able to say, I appeal to Caesar?
You're
He was a Roman citizen from Tarsus, which was a Roman colony, right? And why did he do that? What was the threat?
Death.
That's right. Now, some people say, I think he made a mistake. You know, God would have protected him from those Jewish zealots. Some of them had vowed not to eat or drink until they killed him, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think he did the right thing or not by saying, I appeal to Caesar?
Well, I think God works all situations for good.
Didn't we sing that?
We did. He sang it. And I think that, you know, if you're going to be in Rome, go talk to Caesar. Let him know your case. Share the gospel with him, too.
Yes.
So it all works out, even if he ends up having to go to this. You know,
so he wasn't just asking for protection. In the back of his mind, he was looking for what?
Opportunity.
An opportunity to witness.
Amen.
And certainly, as you said, God can work all things for good. Whether or not that was under the direction of the Holy Spirit or just his conviction, I need to get to Rome, God will work it for good. Well, let's see what God does when he gets to Rome. And who'd like to read from Acts 28 for us, verses 16, Nicole, to 23? It's amazing because even though he's got a soldier by his side, God is going to open a door of opportunity for him. Amen. So we're in Acts 28, verses 16 to 23.
And the New International Version says, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. They replied, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses, and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus.
And then read just verses 30 and 31 for us, Nicole.
Verse 30 says, from the New International Version, of course, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
When we were talking about, was it Corinth, where not only he had many in the city, someone said, the Lord is with you. Mm-hmm. Was that you, Harold, pointed that out? Didn't he see that here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He shows up with a bodyguard, not to protect him, but to keep him secure. And God opens. How long does he get to share there?
2 years.
2 whole years.
Amen.
Who were some of the people that were impacted? Stephanie, can you think of any texts that where he speaks about people who were impacted, or maybe just from your knowledge of his time there in house arrest? He's in prison, but in house arrest.
I'm trying to, a person doesn't immediately come to my mind, but I am sure that impact expanded and impacted
so many
other people.
Yeah, I don't know that he mentions any specific names, but he does mention some people, Kenneth.
I think he made mention of the household of Caesar, some people there.
He mentioned the household of Caesar.
Yes.
Would you read that text for us in Philippians 4 and verse 22? And then there's another group of people that I want you to be thinking about besides Caesar's household. All right, Kenneth, if you have Philippians 4 and verse 22.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household.
Isn't that amazing? How did they hear? Well, that will answer the other question of who the other group is. If you don't know for sure, look in Philippians 1. Kyle, could you read verses 12 and 13 of Philippians 1?
Yes.
And who's the other group? And maybe that's kind of how it got to Caesar's household.
Okay, Philippians 1, verses 12 and 13, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it became evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ.
Isn't that amazing? And they may be then shared with Caesar's household, by the way. Well, right?
I didn't mean to jump in, but you know, his guard was there listening to him testify.
Right. Yeah.
Surely he must have been impacted through
and
all this.
And how long were the shifts that the Roman guards were on? It wasn't one guard strapped to him for 2 years, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do we know? Someone will Google that afterwards, right? You know, maybe it was for 2-3 hour shifts. I don't know how long. A portion of the day, and then there would be a change of guards.
Wow.
And then that guard would get to listen to the gospel message, right?
Amen.
We have an expression in English. I don't know what they say in your country, but a captive audience, literally, right? He's chained to him. So he gets to listen to the gospel. Isn't it amazing what God does? Yeah. Alex?
I think what's amazing here, too, is a lot of us, if we were put in jail or if we were taken captive like that, that would be for us. We're in jail now. We can't minister while we're in jail. You know, this is, we're put away. But Paul took this opportunity, and he didn't back off at all. He just kept full speed ahead and kept witnessing.
Taking the soldier with him, right?
Yeah.
It's really amazing, isn't it? He could also have just sat around acting depressed. Hmm. You know, I'm not getting the good food I like back in, you know, Palestine. Here I am.
Or be mean to the guards.
To the guards, right? Yeah. Harold.
Because there's other stories in the Bible. I think of Joseph. I mean, he was put in prison wrongfully, same as Paul. But yet, look at the impact that he had, the good news he had to share to the whole kingdom of Egypt and to save his people, Canaan. Mm. So it's amazing.
Which reminds us of the scripture song that we sang, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we know that what?
All
things
work
together for good to
those who are called.
Now, God wants to work good for everyone. Why is it just happens for those who love God, Nicole?
Because I think those are the ones that can actually receive what he's giving them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're open.
Yeah. Yeah.
When a bad thing happens, Paul gets thrown in prison in Philippi with Silas, and he says, okay, God, what's the good you're going to do here? What's the answer? What happened in Philippi? Do you remember?
The jailer.
The jailer and his whole family were baptized. They heard the gospel message.
Yes.
What was the good that happened when he was under house arrest in Rome?
Many people heard the gospel. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Many people, including
the
entire palace guard.
Yes. 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 Amen.
And Caesar's household. Jamie?
Well, he got to focus. So previously, you know, he witnessed also through action by being a tent maker, by having these other duties. Now the only thing he could do is witness, and he used that. So God used that as an opportunity for him to focus and to really ramp up those efforts.
Mm. And being under house arrest, I assume he didn't have to pay rent, so he didn't have to make his tents.
Yeah.
We've got to move to the beginning of the letter now, Romans chapter 1, the first 7 verses. And I'm going to ask Justin if you'd read that for us.
Sure.
I have a question. I want you to be thinking while he reads the first 7 verses. Some of the epistles he just says, Paul an apostle and Timothy, or Paul and, you know, whoever he's writing with. Why do you think he gives such a long introduction to the Christians in Rome? Let's look at the first 7 verses, Justin.
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace.
That's a beautiful introduction, isn't it? But why is it so long? I mean, when he wrote to Philippi, when he wrote to Colossae, when he wrote to Ephesus, it was just like Paul, an apostle, you know? Brittany, what did you think?
Maybe because they didn't know him as well.
Ah.
He hadn't been there, so he has to explain more about himself and who he is and where he's come from and who he's representing.
And almost his testimony, mm-hmm. a little bit of his testimony. You don't want to add to that? Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is first contact, mm-hmm. which raises another question we'll come to in just a minute is, well, who taught them the gospel then? But he doesn't know them, but he's heard. And he wants to encourage them. What were some encouraging words for them that you heard, even in this brief introduction?
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace? Mm-hmm.
Britain? Called to be saints.
Called to be saints?
Mm-hmm. Beloved of God.
Huh? Beloved of God?
Exactly.
So what's he trying to convey, even though he's not met them yet?
This is for you. This gospel is for you.
Yeah, we're family.
Yes. Yeah.
We're the family of God together. Yep. You know? We have a contemporary song. It's getting old now, but I'm so glad
I'm a part
of the family of God. He's saying we're family. Mm-hmm. And I'm writing to you to encourage you in the faith. Let's talk about that saints. Your translation, I forget who read the verse. I think you did, Justin, right? Called them holy. The last verse, was it holy ones?
Holy people.
My Bible says called to be saints. These people had a lot of problems. I know that because they were living on the planet Earth. He calls the people in Corinth saints, and you read the Corinthian letters, they have lots of problems. How can we be called the holy people of God and still very much imperfect? What do you think, Stephanie?
Only by the grace of God.
Is it because God covers us with the righteousness of Jesus, or is holiness a journey and not just a final destination? Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting thought. What do you think, Kyle? The saints, holy ones of God.
I think you hit on it. I think Jesus, when we believe in him, he covers us with his righteousness. And though it's a holiness is a growth, you're never like, you know, I can't say, oh, I'm holy now, mm-hmm. you know, but by God's grace, we're growing in him, and he mm-hmm. calls us saints, even though, you know, we're still struggling, but he calls us saints because Christ's righteousness covers us.
You know, I like that he said it's both. Yeah. It's not only that righteousness is imputed to us, right? That's justification, right? But righteousness is also imparted to us, that's sanctification, and that's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember how Jesus described it. And come to your point, Dustin. First the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn.
Yes.
It's a growth. Dustin?
It just seems to me that maybe he's painting a vision. He's not talking about how things are, but how things should mm-hmm. be. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think that we need encouragement in that way, because maybe he's heard reports of bad things that are going on, but he looks beyond that to what their potential is.
So it's kind of like he said to Corinth, if anyone is in Christ, she is or he is a new creation. I like what Dustin said. It's a promise, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a vision. It's a potential in Christ. Brittany and then Tricia Lee.
Just going off of what Dustin shared, I work with children a lot, and we're told rather than to tell them what they're doing that's wrong, to tell them instead with positive language what you hope that they will do. Instead of saying, you need to sit in your chair, stop getting up, you say, I like how you're sitting in your chair. And then it's amazing how you see they just like straighten up and, oh yeah, I am sitting in my chair well. And I think it's the same thing in our spiritual journey. Sometimes we need to be told how God sees us, because we don't see ourselves that way. And it encourages us to kind of stand up and say, yes, I am God's child, and yes, I am one of his children and his saint.
Beautiful. Yeah, Tricia Lee.
Holiness is everything we've discussed, but it's also a purpose, being set aside and set apart for a specific mission. Mm. And I think that Paul wanted to remind them that even though you're imperfect and you're living in this big city with all these challenges, you're holy people because you have a holy calling and a holy work to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also part of it, just like encouraging them to be those holy people and do those holy things and to experience that fellowship with God and with the other saints.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at verse 8. We'll let Kyle comment. You've been waiting patiently. And then let's look at verse 8.
No, I just wanted, can I throw in a quick verse?
Sure, of course.
One of my favorite verses, 1 Peter 2, verse 9.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Give us a moment to find it. 1 Peter 2:9.
This just speaks to what Brittany and Tricia Lee were talking about.
And of course, this is not Paul writing. This is
this
Peter.
This is Peter.
But they're partners in the gospel
partners
message.
Partners in the gospel. And this is such a beautiful verse. It says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light."
So there's that holiness again, the holy Amen. Nation.
Special people.
Yeah, and we could look and go, who's he talking about? Yeah. And the answer is, by the grace of God,
yes.
by the covering of the righteousness of Jesus, and the empowering of his Spirit to walk in a growing holiness,
yes.
he's talking about us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, let's look at verse 8 of Romans chapter 1. And Kenneth, if you could read verse 8 for us, Romans 1, verse 8. Here's this Christian community. What are they commended for?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It reads, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world."
Now that's amazing, because Peter hadn't been there to preach to them, Paul hadn't been there to preach to them, and yet it's not talking about faith in some kind of generic sense, but their faith in Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Their faith in Jesus is being spoken about throughout the whole world.
Amen.
So I need you to do a little detective work for me. Who might have brought the gospel message to them? If it wasn't Peter, he'd not been there. It wasn't Paul, he was on his way there, but not yet. Do a little detective work for me. Who, you say, well, maybe it just came straight out of the air in a vision. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Sure it is. But we heard, how can they hear unless someone tells them? Paul said, that's the beautiful feet that go and tell the good news. Can you think of any potential? Nicole, has anybody come to your mind?
Well, other Jews that might have been actually in the area may have shared their knowledge of Christ from where they heard from other places.
Okay. Can you think of some Jews from Rome who heard the gospel message at a certain time? Anybody think of some? Yes,
Brittany. At Pentecost.
At Pentecost, that's right. Some of the people, there's all different countries listed in Acts 2, right? But some are from Rome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those, as Nicole mentioned, they had come to worship at Passover, came to hear that the Messiah had come. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And his name was?
Jesus.
And they went back and shared that good news. Mm-hmm. That's one possible avenue. Mm-hmm. Harold?
We have the centurion that actually built a temple for the Jews at that time, when he had like a servant who was sick, and actually Jesus came, and the centurion said, like, I'm a person in authority, so don't worry, just say the word and it'll be
happen. I love that story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after his tour of duty, he may have returned to Rome, and he did not leave his faith in Judea.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Awesome. There's another. Any others or a comment, Jamie?
I just think of Cornelius, who the Holy Spirit fell upon after learning of the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And he was also
a Roman officer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the whole interaction with Peter in Acts chapter 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he could have returned. So there's lots of possible ways that the gospel message is taken. Kenneth?
And I also believe because of the, as of that time, Rome was the most powerful nation on earth, and their interaction, because the Jewish state was part of their empire.
Sure.
So there's the likelihood of trade and also people going there to transfer the gospel message there.
So reports could have come back, and the place they're coming back to is to the hub, you know, the what do you call where airport, you know, the certain airline has a hub, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Where everything kind of comes to. Rome was that. Mm-hmm. So the gospel message had gone ahead of some of the famous preachers. Kyle?
I was just thinking, you know, sometimes we think that maybe, you know, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a Paul, I can't reason like Paul or preach like Paul, but it's interesting to see that the gospel actually went to Rome ahead of Paul.
That's right.
Somebody that we don't know who they were,
wow,
just simply gave their testimony, and that's how the gospel first went to Rome. So you may not be able to preach, but just by your simple testimony, just by sharing the simple thing of what Jesus has done for you can cause people to hear about him.
Beautiful. And it may be like Kenneth said, it may have been a trader who was had taken goods and heard the gospel message, and who said, I need to go back home and tell my people. Do you remember there's another time Jesus said, go back to your people and tell them. You remember that?
Right.
That's part of being a follower of Jesus, isn't it? That man had been controlled by demons. Yeah. And he went back to the people of the Gadarenes and told them what Jesus had done for him.
Amen.
Well, let's look at one other commendation in Romans 15 and verse 14. They're not only commended for their faith, but Alex, let's see what else they're commended for. There's several affirmations in Romans 15 and verse 14.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
Mm-hmm. Now, he'd not been there, Nicole, and yet he's saying, full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. How did he know that?
I mean, he's getting reports about what they're doing, but I think, like Kyle said, your testimony goes a long way, and so it's a very powerful message you can give to those around you to point them towards Christ. And he's hearing that, and so he's like, listen, thank you for sharing that.
Amen.
So our testimony, whether good or bad, whether building up the kingdom or being a stumbling block, is going to be heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a solemn responsibility. Anything else impresses you about them? Full of goodness, full of knowledge. How do we get filled with all knowledge? Let's back to whether people need to go or whether we just wait around and let God do the work. How do we fill our minds with knowledge, or do we just wait for some pouring in of the knowledge, Brittany, by the Holy Spirit?
We need to read it for ourselves. That daily time with God of meditating on His Word and asking Him to guide us through the Holy Spirit as we study it for ourselves, like we're doing now.
Yeah, you know, there's a verse, if you'd read for us in Acts 17, I think it is, verse 11. See, that kind of confirms what you were sharing. It's kind of like eating food for the day. You say, well, I ate a year ago. I need nutrition, right, to grow strong. How does it read in Acts 17, verse 11?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so.
More fair-minded. Justin, you have that in the New Living Translation, don't you?
I have more open-minded.
More open-minded. Anyone have another translation besides more open-minded? Fair-minded, open-minded? It's certainly an affirmation.
Yeah. Readiness of mind.
Readiness of mind, okay? Yeah. And what were they doing? They were searching
the scriptures.
Yeah. As Brittany said, that's what we do on Hope Sabbath School, right?
Amen.
And we're praying that the Holy Spirit will apply that to our lives. So this was an amazing group. No wonder he wanted to go and visit them. Yeah. What would the Apostle Paul say if he visited your church? What were some of the things he said about Rome? Just by the reports that were coming, they were
full of goodness
and
knowledge.
And
eager to teach. Eager to teach.
Eager to teach. And also earlier it said full of faith.
Yeah.
What would he say if he visited our church? And we represent many churches. They asked at the beginning, are we all from one church? We represent many places. What do you think he'd say, Justin?
Well, I mean, at least my church, they're full of knowledge, but possibly you need to witness more to the community, teach it.
Okay.
More.
So you might say, do you think he'd find something to affirm?
Yes.
In fact, back to what Dustin said, he would say, greetings,
saints.
And we'd go, did you come to the wrong building? No, because of that vision or that potential that he sees, right?
Amen.
But then, like Justin said, he might look and say, you have a lot of Bible knowledge here. That's wonderful. Find something to affirm. But
use it.
Amen. Find something to challenge. Yeah. What would he say to you if he came and met you? Nicole?
He would tell me that I'm on a journey.
Okay.
And to be steadfast and firm in faith, to know that the end is what God sees me as, not what I am today.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He might even say, Nicole, I've heard about you. Right?
Yeah.
I've heard about you. Someone shared with me. Or, right?
Amen.
And I want to encourage you. I like that idea of the journey.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you. I want to give you an opportunity to testify. I was impressed to write this reaction question down just before we began to film. Paul had a special burden to go to Rome. He wanted to share the good news there. Has God put a special burden on your heart, or did he at some point that caused you to say, I have to go there because I want to share, maybe to family or to another part of the world? Mm-hmm. Can you resonate with that longing in his heart, saying, it may be difficult, I may face challenges, but I have to go? Anybody have a testimony to share? If not, while you're thinking about it, I'll share one that I learned just this past week. Yes, Harold.
Well, my Christian experience, the Lord has placed me with many people to bring encouragement and to even understand a relationship with Jesus, and try to see everybody else with the eyes that Jesus sees them. They are people in need. They need to hear the Lord because they're missing out on the wonderful blessings. And I've been very much blessed. And by that time, when I realized, wow, I cannot just keep this to myself. I had this burden. I just felt like a weight on my heart. I'm like, Lord, I'm very timid. I don't like talking. And the first thing was, like, I was at a university. It's like, well, professors are not reached much, so I don't know if students do this. So my thing was like, the Lord impressed me, like, give at least something at the end of the semester. And at the beginning, it was hard. I was going in circles in the hallways, but then I was like, you know, I really appreciate the work, but I'd like to give you this. And actually, many people were very receptive, but it was that longing because I saw them, like, Jesus loves them. As much
these are your professors at university.
Professors at university.
Now, while Harold was talking, I don't know if you heard what he said. He's speaking to a million people in an interactive Bible study, and he says, you know, I'm timid and don't speak very much. Yeah. So what did God do to bring you here now to Hope Sabbath School, where we're speaking to people all around the world, even though you would say naturally you would see yourself as having been quite timid?
Yes, well, after I met you, and other people mentioned it, but in the end, my thing was like, I don't like to be on camera, but, you know, you never know. You never know the people that are touched, and of course, the testimonies I've been hearing, like, well, Lord, you know, I have had experiences, and my thing is I've had many difficult experiences, and if people hear this, they can see, God did this to me, Amen. He can do that to you.
Amen. So God enables us, doesn't
Amen.
He?
Amen.
That's the whole point.
Amen.
Yeah. Someone else, a burden that was on your heart. Jamie.
So I actually worked for a very high-level organization that's known internationally. I had a really good job, but I had a burden that I wanted to use my talents for the church and work for the church, but I didn't see an opportunity for that. So I've always worked in secular environments. And through the course of what I did not know is over the past 6 years, God was opening up the opportunity and creating an opportunity for me to actually go and work for the church and leave this organization that the world looks at and says, this is, you know, wonderful that you work here. But I wanted to actually do what I do for the church.
So in that environment, at least in your work, you weren't able to talk about God or...
It was forbidden.
Yeah, forbidden.
So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas now...
And now I actually can use my talents to help spread the gospel. And
Amen.
It was amazing to see how God put all those pieces together when, from my human perspective, I was like, there's no way there will ever be an opportunity for me. And he lined up everything perfectly and, you know, made it very clear for me when the time was right.
Didn't we sing a song at the beginning that God can do what?
All
he can work all things for good to those who love him. Alex.
I think of, I've only been going back to church for a little over 2.5 years now. And
see, people say, wait a minute, you're teaching an interactive Bible study, and yet you've only been coming back to church for 2.5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before then, I encouraged so many people, and I wouldn't say a passion for it, but I encouraged so many people to do things that were against, you know, what is right, and led them down the wrong roads in so many ways. Yeah. and for so many years, and people looked up to me and respected me, and in a bad way. And when God took over my life, when He pulled me back to Him, when He answered prayers for me, I look back at those times, and I have a burden now to share what He's done for me with other people, and to make some rights for those wrongs, and to live for Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow, that's a testimony. Someone watching said, I thought I was the only one who was struggling. And I just heard Alex, that God brought him home. And not just brought him home to save him, but brought him home to be a witness. Put a passion on his heart. We have time for one more. Yes, Kyle.
Well, I just to resonate with what Harold and Jamie and Alex said, you know, I didn't want to be, I'm a pastor now, but I did not want to be. I really didn't, because I didn't feel like I could speak. I didn't feel like I had was strong enough in my faith, and I wanted to go another direction. And so I could share my whole testimony, but basically, long story short, God, you know, just kept moving on my heart and gave me a burden to share with others and gave me the opportunity to serve Him, and I'm so thankful just for the opportunity to share His love with others, and that He gave me a love for people that I don't have naturally of myself, and the ability to just, I don't know, I'm so thankful that God, for me, took my life and was able to use me, even though I didn't feel like I could be used.
And you know, that's what God can do for you and for me. If we're willing to step out, I like what Dustin said earlier, that vision that God has of who we can become in Him. Amen. Step out, and when we do, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit is with us. And He says, I'll bless you. I will give you wisdom. I'll give you boldness that you don't have. Paul said, I want to take the message to Rome. And somehow God opened the door. God is going to bless us as we study this letter. But don't wait till we're finished with the study. Say, God, would you use me now?
Amen.
Would you use me now? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you as we begin this study of this amazing message, salvation by faith alone. Thank you for the letter inspired by your Spirit to Christians in Rome, but also for us. May we learn lessons, but may we say, Lord, use me now. Help your plan for my life to be fulfilled as I surrender to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. I'm excited about the journey because God has a plan for each one of us, even today. Let's open our hearts to Him. Let's follow wherever He leads, and let the blessing flow through us to those around us.